All right, what's going on? It's Friday, and we are getting ready for a monster sports weekend. Tonight, NLDS game number 3 is down in San Diego at Petco Park. It is Blake Snell on the mound for the Padres versus Tony Gonsolin, who's expected to go, I would guess, 3 or 4 innings. And Dave says it's going to feel like kind of a bullpen game, I think. Dodgers, of course, even now 1 apiece and blew some opportunities in game 2 to take control of the series, and now it's jump ball.
I was thinking about that the Dodgers really have all the pressure on them, don't they? Nobody, if the Padres got blown out twice over the next 2 games, everybody would say, well, that was predictable.
Look how far they got. That's right, what they would
but
say.
If the Dodgers get blown out, everybody's going to say, wow, what a choke job.
Oh, it's a disaster.
So all the pressure's on the Dodgers.
Yeah. I've got a little nugget here. Let me see. Padres bullpen has been just dynamic in this series. Dodgers have not scored past the third inning in either game. The Padres bullpen during the regular season had a 3.83 earned run average, and so far in the postseason, they have not allowed a run in their last 12 and a third innings of work. So the Padres bullpen has been a factor. And, you know, if Tony Gonsolin gives us 3-4 tonight, that's cool. In the end, Atlanta won the World Series last year. And by the way, Atlanta's getting blown out today. That rookie Strider got blown up.
Yeah, it's 6-0 in Philly.
But they threw more bullpen innings than they did innings for starters during their World Series run last year. So it's not surprising to see potentially a bullpen game tonight. But I think everybody, the whole city's on edge. I don't want to go down 2-1. That will be. And, you know, I can't win, John. So there used to be the Mason curse, right? Everywhere I went, the team lost.
Yeah.
Now, I went to game 1 of the NLDS. We won. I didn't go to game 2, and I got blamed for it because now I'm supposed to be some sort of lucky friggin' charm.
I hate to break it to the audience.
I have no power at all.
Whether or not Mason is in attendance at games has zero impact on the actual result. I know that shocks a lot of you, but it's I don't think it makes the least bit of difference. Now, Bergman being there when they lost means it's his fault.
Exactly.
Right.
No. Bergman curse.
Is the jinx.
Yeah.
You're not going to San Diego, though.
No, I'm not.
Is anybody going to go? If there's a game 5, are we going to that game?
Is
you
it
are.
At Dodger Stadium?
It's at Dodger Stadium. Game 5 would be Sunday.
Are you? Well, so you would blow off the Rams game?
No, I'd have to go to the Rams game and then to the Dodgers game. That would be a crazy double.
Hey, Greg, you should take your date to the Dodgers game.
Hey, take Doc.
That's way too close in between.
Do you realize that
you
Tuesday,
can't do them that fast.
Assuming we win this weekend, assuming the Dodgers win, that would mean Tuesday night is Lakers opener at Golden State. It is the NLCS game 1.
At Dodgers game 1.
And just to throw it in there, the LAFC has their first playoff game, I think, Tuesday night. So it's going to be very, very busy.
LAFC's is the 20th.
So not next week. Following. Okay. But it's going to be a busy week next week, as long as we win.
No, the 20th would be next Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Which would be the same night as the Laker home opener against the Clippers.
Just the
You've
best
always
time
said
of year.
October is the best sports month of the year, and it's living up to it.
It absolutely is. All right, so there's something interesting that came out this week. Bob Myers, who is the general manager of the Golden State Warriors, suggested that Steph Curry. Here's what he said about Steph Curry being the face of the Golden State Warriors franchise.
Listen, I stole this from somebody, but they said this. Best face of the franchise in the history of sports, Steph Curry. Do you have anybody? Like, who's better?
Think about it. Well, let's have a little fun with it.
Okay.
Derek Jeter.
I was about to say.
Okay, well.
The captain.
Tim Duncan.
Not better.
I don't.
No, I'm not saying better. I'm just saying.
Okay, these are the guys. These are the guys. But I mean, look.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, that's. John Stockton.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that's.
Yeah.
But to me, you can't say any of those guys are better.
No.
I mean, it's when it comes to the unselfishness, the joy,
the credentials, staying in the same place for his entire career. I mean,
okay, so Steph Curry is clearly the face of that franchise, and they've won 4 championships. He's certainly one of the great faces of the franchise in history, but there are, and they mentioned some others. They did not mention, for example, Magic Johnson. They did not mention Kobe Bryant, who was certainly the face of the Lakers franchise for much of the 2000s. And who else comes to mind, John?
Well, you didn't mention any football players. You know, it depends how far back
Joe Montana,
you
the 49ers.
Right. Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach, Lawrence Taylor.
Lawrence Taylor, for sure, yeah.
I think the answer to the question is Michael Jordan, don't you? I mean, there's never been one player who impacted a team in a city more than Jordan did.
I agree. Although, where is Steph in that conversation? He's near the top.
Well, I said the other day, and I never thought I would say this, I think Jordan's the best guard in the history of the NBA, and second is a coin flip between Magic and Kobe.
Right.
And I now think it's got to be a three-headed coin because Steph's in there.
Yeah, he's definitely
I think Steph goes right in there with Magic and Kobe. Magic and Kobe had five titles. Steph had four, but Steph's the greatest shooter of all time. He always does the right thing. Great guy you can
great
build
guy,
around.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the best guard ever is Jordan, and the second best guard ever is either Magic, Kobe, or Steph. If you made me pick, I would pick Magic because, as Michael likes to say, he was the greatest leader in the history that everybody would follow him no matter what he did. So
plus, he was really the first face of the franchise in the Jerry Buss era.
Yeah, him and Kareem.
Yeah. All right, let me see here. So a lot of people want Westbrook traded still, and he's going to come off the bench tonight and blah, blah, blah. So Bill Simmons has an idea for a trade. I think Westbrook is going to be traded at some point this year. I think we're going to start the season. We're going to settle in a little bit. Teams are going to figure out, hey, we're awful. We got a shot at that Wembanyama guy. So let's go ahead and trade for Westbrook and give him the John Wall treatment and suck.
And tank,
exactly.
Yeah.
So this trade that Bill Simmons suggested is successful. Tell me, well, I guess you can't. Bergman, you
yeah, I can.
Oh, can you? Okay. So here's the way it goes. The Russell Westbrook goes to Indiana.
Okay.
Miles Turner goes to Golden State. Draymond Green and Buddy Hield come to the Lakers.
I don't think the Warriors would do it.
You don't think they have purpose for Miles Turner?
No, I think Miles Turner's great. I don't think the Warriors would break up their core four. The last time a quartet of players won four championships together was in the 80s with Magic, Coop, Kareem, and Rambis. Draymond, Iguodala, Clay, and Steph have won four titles. I just don't think they would break it up. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think Draymond is going to be there next year.
Well, he has a player option for next year.
But don't you think? I think he's out of there.
Stephen A. Smith thinks that. I don't know. It depends. What if they win the title this year?
Yeah. I don't think they're going to. Do you?
Why do we want Draymond? I don't want Draymond.
Well, because we're trying to win now.
Yeah, he's
a tremendous
player.
He is a tremendous player for the Warriors.
And a great leader.
He doesn't do any
no,
of the
Greg,
things that
our
you want.
Biggest,
is
no,
defense.
Our biggest
I get it,
problem
defense.
Is defense, and he's Defensive Player of the Year candidate every year.
I think it has
and
to do
And he can
with,
guard all five positions.
He can, but I think it's who he is on that team specifically. I don't think he's Draymond on any other team. Draymond in Golden State is not Draymond on Memphis. It's not Draymond on the Lakers. I think it's two totally different people. It's part of the system that he's with there. I don't think he fits in LA. I don't think he doesn't shoot threes. He does play defense, but I would have no interest in Draymond.
So Draymond is looking for a 4-year, as much as $138 million contract in his next deal. What if, and you, John, you sent me this. This is from Deadspin. So consider the source.
Right.
Is it possible, here's the conspiracy, that Golden State, someone leaked that video so that Draymond wouldn't necessarily get 4 years, 138 next year, but would settle for less?
I don't think it's possible that someone who works in the front office did that. But I do think it's possible that maybe a Warriors fan who doesn't like Draymond perhaps leaked it. I still don't know how that tape got out of the building.
No.
I don't think they know. But no, I don't think the Warriors were behind it. Do you?
I do not. It brought great.
What sense does it make? I mean, they want to control what they can control, and if you send out that video, you no longer can control anything.
Yeah, no, it's just a weird conspiracy from Deadspin. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I do think they'll ultimately find the person that did this. Do you? It's been a minute now.
Yeah.
Are they going to find him?
I don't know.
And by the way, when they do find him, what do they do? And do we find out?
Yeah. I think that's the public shaming would be the penalty. You know, if it was a guest of somebody who just happened to be in the building that day, or if it's somebody in security that works for the Chase Center, that person, you know, will be ostracized. But
do you think they would get the Kevin Harlan treatment?
That guy is headed to the slammer.
I've been waiting to use this drop for a week.
Did they do anything illegal? If Bergman and I get in a fight in the hallway at ESPN, and then Greg and I make up, we say, you know what, tempers got the best of us, we're friends, let's just move on, we're good. And Greg and I are fine. And then 2 days later, you leak a tape because you rolled your cell phone on it. And then when the tape gets out, they have to fire both Bergman and I for physical violence in the workplace. Did you do anything illegal in that scenario?
Technically not illegal. You're kind of a snitch and a jerk and all that stuff. But technically, you didn't break any law.
Yeah, to answer your Kevin Harlan question, no slammer.
That guy is headed to the slammer.
Harlan is so great.
It's so good. All right, coming up next for you, John. You know how I feel about Tony Roma.
Yes, you mistakenly and falsely mock Tony Roma on this show regularly.
I am not alone, and I will play you a clip that will prove that. Two prominent people not liking Tony Roma. Plus, on top of that, Larry David did mean tweets on Jimmy Kimmel. And
how great is that?
Hilarious.
I haven't heard.
We'll do that coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Feeling good.
Am I in the top 10? John, did I make the top 10?
Top 10?
Top 10.
Top 20.
Top 20? Okay, so I'm on the outside.
Yeah, sure,
closer to the 20 or closer to the 10?
You're like Central Florida in the top 20.
Stop. 19.
Cincinnati. 19? Okay, 19. All right.
Exactly. All right, so let's see where we tease. Oh, so Larry David, he's just one of the funniest guys. And I think they're coming back with another season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I hope soon. I know they've been shooting it. So he went on Kimmel, and they did mean tweets with him. And I want to give you a selection. I think this is just a few tweets that he read. Oh, it's actually just one. Okay. Here's the funniest of Larry David's mean tweets.
The worst part about Curb Your Enthusiasm is they portray Larry as a**hole. No one wants to f*** Larry David. You know what? Can agree more.
He's the best. He's the best. By the way, you know, he plays such a cantankerous guy on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Have you met him in person?
Have I met Larry David in person? I don't think so. I've seen him in person. I've been to a bunch of stuff he's been in, but I've never met him.
The nicest guy. Like, nothing at all. like his character on Curb.
Sue Kolinsky, your podcast partner on Culture Pop, is friends with him, right?
Yeah, friends with him, and they're doing a documentary together and all kinds. But nicest guy in the world. He just plays a jerk on TV. By the way, Sue and I did a couple of podcasts this week. You can check them out. It's just me and her goofing around at search Culture Pop on Apple and Spotify. So,
matter of fact, what wasn't the episode of Curb that Sue was in? Larry was trying to – Sue played a lesbian.
Yes.
And Larry was trying to flip a lesbian, right? Get her to change teams.
Correct.
Was that it?
That was the objective.
And he wanted Sue to help him, and of course it all goes to hell, and you know, it's funny.
Of course. Yeah, no, very, very funny. And they are coming back with another season of Curb, which is awesome. Larry's always like hesitant. Am I gonna do it? Am I not gonna do it? He's come back and doing it again. All right, so this, John, is interesting. Dick Ebersole is one of the most famous, accomplished television sports producers in the history of the world. Did all those Olympics and all that stuff. So we sat down with Chris Wallace, who's doing a brand new show on HBO and CNN. HBO is when I watch it, where Chris sits down with all kinds of really interesting people. Chris is a great interviewer. I'm a huge fan. So this is a little bit from Dick Ebersole along with Chris Wallace on the subject of Tony Romo.
I've known Tony Romo since he first got to the pros. He's an unbelievably engaging guy. He should have been a terrific, great broadcaster. Something's happened since he got into that chair, and it doesn't seem like he's into it like he was on his way up. He does not seem to be the storyteller that he should be. The thing that makes Michael's great and Buck great and all these guys are they're really storytellers. And Tony's gotten further and further away from that, I think.
That's interesting you say that, because I'm very much in a minority. I kind of feel the same about Tony Romo, which is there's a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of predicting the play, but I don't really feel we're watching the game together.
I'd love to be his producer for about 6 months. I think I could cure this quickly.
What would you say to him?
Get your head in the game. I mean, you've really got to work hard to be prepared. I'm sure I'll get all kinds of phone calls and notes and stuff like that, but that is how I feel, and, you know, I'm sort of a veteran of the Wallace family. You didn't even have to press hard to get that.
If there's anybody else you'd like to say controversial things about, you know.
No, but this is one that, this is somebody who should be an announcer for the ages, but clearly has lost his passion for it. And I would have him in my office often, not to kick his ass, but just to keep reminding him of what put him there in the first place.
Me, Chris Wallace, Dick Ebersole on the Tony Romo is not a good broadcaster train.
So Chris Wallace cost me an expensive breakfast once.
Oh, really?
Did I ever tell you this story?
No, no.
So I was working with Tony Bruno on a morning show.
Right.
Started at the old Fox Sports Radio
I remember that
years
show,
and
yeah.
years ago. So Tony was off one day, and I was filling in. And do you remember Daryl, Greg, you'll remember this guy, Daryl Henley. He was a defensive back from UCLA.
Yep.
He went and played for the Rams. He was a good NFL player for the Rams and got involved in drug smuggling. He had gotten one of the Rams cheerleaders to take a suitcase full of drugs and transport it across the country, and he was going to sell them. And he got caught. It was a sting. And he got sent to jail. And when he was in jail, he tried to put a hit out on the judge that sentenced him. So he just kept spiraling down and down and down. And Chris Wallace went into jail and interviewed Daryl Henley in jail. And wow. we were telling this story on the Tony Bruno show and Mandelbaum. And I said to Evan, I said, when does this air, the Daryl Henley interview? He goes, it airs tonight. And I said, boy, I'd love to talk to Chris Wallace, find out what Daryl Henley told him, what he didn't tell him. And Evan Mandelbaum says to me, if I can get Chris Wallace for the end of the show, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
He said, will you take the whole crew to breakfast? And we were in Burbank working over by Hugo's, sure. which is a really great breakfast place. I said, absolutely, 100%. Sure enough, 8:30, we're about to leave, go off the air at 9. Chris Wallace is on line one. And he did a great interview and told us exactly what was coming up. Did a really good preview of the Henley thing, which was a fascinating story. And that was my Chris Wallace story. And now, of course, Chris has been on kind of a roller coaster over the past year. He got hired to be the face of CNN Plus.
Yes.
And then CNN had a management shakeup. Zucker, who was very high on CNN Plus, got booted, and the guy that replaced him came in and just canceled it. So we're not doing CNN Plus.
Yes.
And so this thing you're talking about must be what Chris is doing now.
Yeah, Chris is doing it. He's doing sort of a just a straight up interview show now. So I've seen, you know, he'd like Supreme Court justices and all. I mean, he has his pick of people to do this with. It airs first on HBO, then on CNN. What did you think of Ebersole's take on Romo?
Disagree. I like Tony. I think he's good. I enjoy listening to him. But Dick Ebersole knows more about sports TV than I'll ever know. So if it comes from Dick Ebersole, there's probably something to it.
So do you acknowledge that I'm not the only one?
No, I do not acknowledge that. I think you are literally the only one who hates Tony Romo. Dick Ebersole, you can tell, doesn't hate him.
Oh, hate Tony. I just don't like him as an announcer. I don't hate Tony.
You know what's the same thing about Dick Ebersole and who was the other one? Chris Wallace?
Chris Wallace?
Yeah, they're both 75 years old.
So
they're just old dudes that don't like what they're seeing. That a new type of guy.
Dick Ebersole is one of the greatest sports producers in history.
That's fine.
He's done like 46 Olympic games.
Right.
He was like there in 36.
We are in a different world when it comes to broadcasting. It's a different type of broadcasting now. We're not having those same old guys anymore. It's just not how it works.
So you're saying it's an age thing.
I'm saying you're 75.
They don't like Tony Romo.
Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying.
So you think it's me, Dick Ebersole, and Chris Wallace?
There might be
and
a couple
it.
More, and but it's
there
I bet
are a
you
lot.
Most
Read
people that don't
York
like
Post.
Him
Read
are
the
in
New York
their
Post. They go
60s
after
and 70s.
All the time.
Yeah, I bet you the guy that you're reading is 85.
Did you
maybe
see,
90?
Did you see John? The I sent you a photo.
I upset him on a Friday.
You did piss me off. So I took a picture at the Dodger game, a selfie at the Dodger game.
Uncanny. Unbelievable.
I sent it side by side with a picture of my dad, who was at 74, and basically it's seeing the future. I am going to look like my dad at 74. It is so weird how much I guess it's unavoidable, right?
Right, but that is eerie. Well, so like you've met my dad, right?
Yes.
You know when he was alive?
Yep.
So I'm gonna send you know how you get Apple Memories videos
yes,
pop up on your phone?
Yes.
So I'm sending you one that came up from when I went to Ireland in 2017.
Yep.
And you'll see a guy about halfway through this video, and you will swear it's my dad. Looks exactly like him. Talks exactly like him. It's his brother, Noel, who's 2 years younger than him. And I watched it, and I went, oh, my God, that's my dad. So, I mean, this is something that happens fairly often but you look exactly like your dad, and you're probably when you're 74, you'll be like a dead ringer for him.
Yeah, I probably will be. It scared me a little bit when I first saw it. My family pointed out, they're like, oh, my God, you look like that. And I went back and I looked at the picture, and I'm like, holy hell. Yeah, I'm turning into my dad. I'm not turning into my dad. Because I'm still working, and my dad quit working when he was 55. He retired at 55.
Can you imagine? We'd be done. Yeah. You and I would be done working.
We'd be finished. We'd be through.
How great.
We'd be enjoying life.
Unbelievable. Yeah. You'd be eating an unlimited supply of donuts.
Oh, my dad did it right. 55. All right, coming up next for you. Let's see, what have we done? Oh, the coolest guy in San Francisco. And John refuses to play poker anymore.
Yeah, I think so.
Those two things coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So my dog Sophie's deaf. When we are watching Dodgers baseball, she could care less. She's a sturdy old dog, 16 years old, can't hear a thing I'm saying, not even looking at me. But my dog Fredo, who is six, just stares with a frightened look on his face while we're watching Dodgers Padres. And I guess my question is, should I have him in the bedroom or should I send him to the yard?
No, I'm in the bedroom.
Yeah,
it's a family event.
It's a family event, yeah. But he gets so friggin' nervous.
Hey, by the way, how did you find out that Sophie was deaf? Like, did it become obvious she wasn't listening to you guys when you called for her?
Yes. If Sophie is, if she's not facing you, you can clap, you can yell, Sophie! She will not turn around. So that's how we know she's deaf.
Gotcha.
But she's good. She's healthy as hell. All right, so one of the coolest guys around, after reading this story, is Clay Thompson. This is a story from Bro Bible that says every day when Clay Thompson is going to practice, he takes a boat and he docks near Chase Center before walking to the facility with his bulldog, Rocco. How cool is that?
And Rocco goes with him on the boat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so he
does he have
basically
a boat?
They put he, yeah, and so whenever he goes to Chase Center, so he doesn't have to deal with traffic on the Bay Bridge because he lives over in Oakland where they used to play.
Yep,
he gets in his boat, takes it across the bay, docks it at Chase Center, brings Rocco with him, gives Rocco to somebody at Chase Center to watch him while he practices, then gets Rocco, gets back in the boat, and goes home.
Love boat.
That guy's got life figured out.
Yeah, he really does. He really does. Good for him.
It Friday.
So, Ireland, you sent a note to me today saying you don't think you'll ever play poker again. What's going on?
No, well, I'll play like in our tournaments.
Yes, yeah.
But I don't think I'll play for like real money, and I'll never play video poker again.
I don't believe.
And
in
the
video
reason
poker,
is there's
by
this,
the way, yeah.
There is an article in the LA Times today about a guy named Garrett Adelstein, who is the most successful streaming poker player out there. He makes thousands of dollars playing streaming poker.
Now, when you say streaming poker, does that mean video online poker?
Yes.
Okay.
They are this particular thing that happened was on a stream called Hustler Casino Live. So you can watch these people play poker for real money. And he was playing against a woman. It had narrowed it down. They were the only two people left at the table. He's playing with a woman named Robbie Jade Liu. And he thinks that she cheated him at a $269,000. Video of the hand is all over the internet. All you got to do is Google it.
How did she do it?
She went all in on a call when she had nothing. And he's convinced that she either knew what his hole cards were or she knew what was coming. Because it's just every poker instinct he has, and he's been playing poker professionally for 20 years, is that no one with a brain would have stayed in that hand with the hand that she had. But the article, Mace, digs deep into the fact that poker, particularly streaming poker, has been rampant with cheating for years.
Hmm.
And a lot of times what happens is somebody on the production crew who can see all the cards will figure out a way to leak it to one of the players. Or, you know, somebody is in on it. And he just says, I mean, this is his... He's played poker professionally for his entire life. And he says, you know, one time he was playing in a home game and he got a straight flush and lost to a higher straight flush. Mm. And then he found out later that the game was rigged and threatened to sue these guys, and they paid him back. They gave him his money back. But the end result of me reading this article, which is kind of long, but it gets into it deep, is that chances are if you're playing poker, somebody at the table's cheating.
Yeah, but if I go to Hollywood Park Casino, how do I know somebody's cheating? I mean... You and I played there. I didn't notice any cheating. Did you?
No, but we didn't win any money either.
You won.
I won a little.
Yeah.
but not much.
But is this, I mean, what I don't understand is, are we talking about the kind of poker that you play online, the streaming Larry Flynt Hustler Casino one?
No, we're talking about you and, let's say you and I and Bergman and Jorge and three other people are playing poker at the Hustler Casino.
Okay.
And the game is being filmed.
Yep.
All right, so everybody at home can watch and play along with us. What Adelstein says is happening is somebody in the truck is figuring out a way to signal people at the table as to whether it be with a buzzer or a pager or somebody's tipping. One of the cameramen is tipping the player, and none of it is on the up and up. And basically, it's just the cheating is, like you always used to say about the Olympics, the cheaters will always be one step ahead of the regulators.
Right.
It sounds like that's what's happening with poker. If you, I leave it up to people to go on the LA Times and read this story. It's in the business section about Garrett Adelstein, and would ever trust playing poker in a casino again ever. I don't.
Wow.
I think everybody's cheating. So I'll play in our events.
Wow.
Where we're not really spending a lot of money, but because I don't think that our games, our tournaments are, there's enough money in them that it'd be worth somebody to extreme cheating level. But professional players, this guy's 36. He's been playing since he was 18, and he hasn't played since that hand.
Here's what I take out of that. How does he know she didn't just pull great cards out of the turn in the river? I mean, I think she was queen.
I would tell you to read the article.
I think she was queen four, right?
Right.
Queen four
offsuit.
He doesn't
know for sure, but he's convinced of it.
Interesting. Okay.
And, yeah, he, by the way, there's a guy mentioned in this story named Houston Curtis. He's executive producer of a rival poker stream, Live at the Bike.
Okay.
And he wrote a book about how he rigged games in 2020 on YouTube.
Yikes.
So it's going on.
Yeah, it's going on. Okay. Hey, do you know the WoW bit yet?
Wow.
No.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Do you have one of those in you?
Who that sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Guess who that is.
Sounds like Owen Wilson.
It is Owen Wilson.
That's exactly who it is.
From what movie is it?
It's all of his movies.
All of his movies. Wow. And the idea is, apparently, this is Sedano. This is the way Sedano reacts when Cappy says something weird.
Wow.
So that's a new thing.
Now every show is using it, by the way. Taylor uses it on Travis and Sliwa. Yeah.
Well, we've got exclusive rights to Kevin Harlan, though, right?
That guy is headed to the slammer.
Well, I think Kevin Harlan has exclusive rights to Kevin Harlan, but we'll be happy to use it.
We will use it regularly. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. It's Jorge's game today. It's a really weird month. Yesterday, Cappy won.
I haven't won this month.
You have not won. I don't.
And it's the 14th.
It's Sedano 4, Taylor 1, Jorge 1, Jacob Imrani 1, me 1, Bergman 1, Cappy 1, and Ireland yet to hit the board. Jorge does have one. So you're the only one scoreless. But Sedano somehow has taken a commanding lead. Who's playing from the afternoon show?
Lebo.
Cappy's coming up next with us as we play Game of Games. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go. It is Game of Games time. Who do we welcome to the show? None other than...
Lebo!
There you go. That was your cue, man.
Oh,
that
was my cue. Yeah, it was my cue.
Lebo! Cappy's here. And Cappy, you won a game yesterday, actually. You won the game, right?
On a bit of a technicality, I mean, I'll take the win,
take it. They're hard to come by, man. Trust me. So it is Jorge's game today. It'll be me,
Bergman, John,
Ireland, and Cappy. John, do you want to keep score? You're better at keeping score than all of us.
Yeah, okay. Happy to.
Okay, my game is multiple choice today.
Okay.
And I took 10 of the most, top grossing films.
Okay.
The top 10. And my source updated that as of today at 3:30.
Okay. So what are we?
So is this?
It's
only domestic. Worldwide? No. Box office or domestic?
Just domestic.
Okay.
Just domestic. Okay. So the top, number 10 is The Avengers. That grossed a total of what? 623.
Okay.
670, 680, or 737 million. A, B, or C, or D?
I'll go 673.
673. John?
What was the third choice?
680.
What was B?
B was 670.
So I'll do A.
So okay.
Whatever A was.
Yeah, 623, 670, 680. I'll do A. 730.
I like both of you guys can't remember which number was related to which letter.
Yeah. Okay, Greg?
I will go with D.
D, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any of them that haven't been picked yet?
Just make a pick.
B?
Man.
Well, there has
B?
To be. Yeah. Because there's only three of us.
Right, but I'm saying that nobody picked the same one. Which one's still available, Jorge?
I'll just go with D. Go with whatever.
Yeah. Well, I took D. But
all right, C, whatever. Anyway,
what's
John,
the answer?
John got it. Hey, geez.
Oh, hey, lucky John, guess. John all right.
You telling me that my game was worse than this?
Well, yeah.
This is a pretty
one question
game.
In so far.
By the way, limit it to three choices.
Yeah,
not choices.
I was just going to say, do that. Limit
four
to three.
Is too many.
Here we go. All right, the next one is Jurassic World. Did that one come at 653, 625, or 610?
I happen to know this. It is 653.
Okay. Next.
Well, if Mason knows it, I'll say 653.
Cappy?
I disagree. I think Mason's trying to talk us into all saying the same thing. What were the other two choices?
653, 625, or 610?
625.
I'll go 610. I think he's doing the same.
All right. John and Mace got this one?
Yep. I knew it.
You had no idea.
I totally knew the answer to that. Yeah.
He obviously did.
I was on Box Office Mojo, saw that the other day.
There you go. All right. Here's the next one, Titanic. Did that one come in at 619, 659, or 712?
I'm going 712.
Okay. John?
615.
Cappy?
712.
Greg?
The middle one.
The middle one it is. Greg gets a point on that one. All right, number seven, Avengers Infinity War. Did that one come in at 678, 630, or 762?
I'm going 762.
762 for Mace. John?
B.
B, okay, 630. Cappy, A, B, or C?
630 is the only one I can remember.
Greg?
The middle one.
Oh, you guys all got that one wrong.
Ireland, who's winning?
It was A.
Wow.
I am 2-1, but there's no way Bergman's game was worse than this.
No, you have overtaken Bergman.
No. This might be. Hey, can I offer a suggestion as the leader in this game?
Yes.
Forfeit.
Yeah,
fine.
I think we bag it.
John,
yeah.
Fine, John, take the win.
All right, okay. I'd be happy to take the win. I lead 2-1,
no, that's it.
But I'm willing to bag it on
yes,
principle.
It. I'm done. Total forfeit.
Yeah.
I'm done. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, God.
Nice try, Jorge.
Did you forget to write a game and write this during the show?
Don't I have it right here?
Sadly,
I write it on Wednesday.
Sadly, he wrote it all down.
Yes, I did write it
down. I have a question, though. Just a question. Yesterday, Bergman's whole game was related to riddles. Because it was like National Activate Your Brain Day or something like that.
Yes, exactly.
He had a theme to it.
Apparently your brains are...
What happened to Jorge's brain?
Yeah, well, I just wondered, Jorge, where did this come from? And there was no like theme to it at all. Like,
right, it's just so random.
Well, so what? We watch movies all the time. So I got inspired by watching a bunch of movies this week. What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with it, Jorge. It just
doesn't... Everything is wrong with
it. It just doesn't mean it's a good game.
I mean, right. I don't ever remember a game of games being halted in the middle, ever.
I don't want to play no more.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's ever happened, Kat. I don't think we've ever said, game so bad, we all forfeit. That's the first.
Sounds like you should have done it yesterday, but it just, well, Greg, you're off the schneid.
Brenda loved Friday. Brenda got like five of them right. That's it.
So, Cappy, we were doing this earlier. I'm curious about this. It's national, as you know, it's National Dessert Day. Take it away, Shadano. So we did our power rankings for dessert. One, two, three. What comes to mind for you?
I'm walking away now.
Okay,
see you guys.
Don't.
I think you did.
Wow, he just got up and left,
yep.
Huh?
Gone.
I mean, he left. Really Jorge's got to get in here at some point.
Honestly, I mean, for Jorge, this is surprising, but I would call this storming out.
Yeah, he should.
Ha!
It was that bad.
It was that bad. Hey, have a good weekend. Bye. All right, so Cappy, dessert. Power
dessert
rankings.
Power rankings. Dessert power rankings. All right, here it goes. You ready?
Yep, ready.
Key lime pie.
Oh, God, I forgot key lime pie. It's fantastic.
Yeah, very good sleeper there.
Chocolate milkshake.
Kind of pedestrian.
Yeah.
Really? And then lastly, I would go with like chocolate layer cake, because I'm really more of a chocolate person than I am anything. But key lime pie is my all-time favorite. What? How did I come in? Where'd you guys go with this?
I went pecan pie, number three, number two, coconut cake, and number one, carrot cake.
Oh.
Yeah, that your number one sucks.
I love carrot cake. I'm telling you, my mom,
if I go to a party or a restaurant and I say, what's for dessert, and they cough up carrot cake, I give it a...
I don't want to exaggerate, but my mom's carrot cake will change your life.
Really?
I'm not exaggerating.
What did John Ireland say here today?
Chocolate lava cake, number one.
Okay, it's very good.
Chocolate eclair, number two. Mm. And what was... mud pie, number three.
So you're all chocoholic all the time.
Yeah, need chocolate in the game.
Parth D tweets, Bergie and Jorge have no right to tell Momo her games are the worst anymore.
Jorge, that game was worse than any Momo game ever.
Brenda just texted me. She's like, what the hell's wrong with you? Your game was horrible.
Oh,
wow. Viva Brenda!
Yes.
I wonder what she didn't like about it other than, like, everything, but... It just didn't. Where does it start? There's no start.
I don't want to. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I know. I understand.
He's embarrassed by it now.
Feelings are hurt. He's embarrassed.
Sorry, I keep bringing it up. Pal.
Just own it, Jorge.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll take the Curtis on this.
Yeah, it was fine. Take the Curtis. The Curtis.
-100
-100
Exactly.
So, Cappy, how are you feeling about? Well, I guess you're on the Padres side of things. How are you feeling about the game tonight? Personally, I think it's complete jump ball. Blake Snell has been really good against us, like in the World Series in 2020. Tony Gonsolin, you're probably only going to get 3-4 innings out of him.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that if you're the Padres tonight, this is your chance.
Yep.
I mean, this is a what I would think of as a must-win game for the Padres, just the same way the Dodgers really needed to win game one because the Padres were coming out with Mike Clevinger, their number four starter, and a guy who only lasted two innings and change. But tonight... You guys, what do you think you're going to get from Gonsolin?
I think we're going to get four clean innings. You know, this year he went 7-0 with a 2.66 ERA in road starts. He's been very good on the road. And the Dodgers.
And Snell has not been great at home.
Yeah, Snell has struggled at home.
Well, Gonsolin against the Padres this year, 2-0 with a sub-1 ERA.
Yes.
So he was really, really good. But the only thing is that I'm not sure what he's going to be.
Well, let's talk about it after the Super Stager. And we welcome to the show, DeMarco. Today's show is Cappy and DeMarco, an excellent combo plate. How are you, man?
Good. How are you, sir? I'm trying to remember that Bruce Willis, Chris Tucker movie, space movie. Help me out here.
That is called The Fifth Element.
I love The Fifth Element.
Yeah, The Fifth Element's a really cool movie.
How much money did that one gross? $2 million?
$5 million? Yeah, no one cares.
$620 million? $710 million?
Jorge, my goodness, man. Bro, what happened?
I don't know what happened.
Just randomly throwing out numbers. $697 million.
No, you know that website, Mason.
$462 million.
And you know, Mace, you and Ireland actually tried to help the game. Like two questions in, you were like, go from four questions or four answers down to three answers.
There was no saving that game. Right.
By the way, Amanda checked in.
Forfeit.
She says that you should be suspended for that game.
Oh!
I'll gladly take the suspension.
Take unpaid. Your play calling duties away from you.
So since DeMarco's here, Ireland and I have a real disagreement. I think...
Legitimate.
This is totally legit.
Like real beef. Okay,
yes.
Good.
I think that if the Rams lose on Sunday, we're not going to the playoffs. It is a must-win game.
Can you give me reasons why? Just a gut feeling? Numbers? Analytics? What?
I've looked at the schedule.
Yeah.
And I see right after the bye week, we've got San Francisco, and then we're at Tampa Bay. And all of a sudden, if you're 2-4 after this, you've got, what do you maybe hope to split there? I mean, the season unravels at that point.
Legit. What's Ireland's take? It's too early?
That in week six, you can't call a team dead.
Okay,
no matter what.
But I would say this, John. If they do lose to Carolina, and Carolina is widely considered the worst team in the league, they just fired their head coach. And they're going to be starting their four-string quarterback. If you lose against Carolina at home, I'm not saying it's like a definite, but Mason's got a point. If you can't beat them, how do you beat Tampa? How do you beat anybody? You know what
I'm
saying?
DeMarco, you've been in the league a long time. I mean, I remember one year New England lost to Buffalo in week two, 31-0, and went on to win the Super Bowl.
Fair.
I mean, it wasn't even close.
I don't know the shape of their offensive line, but I know the shape of this one.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I know the shape of our running game. Our leading rusher, who had only 151 yards for the season, has disappeared
mysteriously. Cam Akers. Yeah, that's a
yeah, DeMarco, that sounds like it's fait accompli. I'd be surprised if he came back, would you?
It depends on how they feel about Cam, and from what I know, they like Cam. They respect Cam. But you know this game is hard, man. So he's coming back from injury. I'm sure he's dealing with a loss of some ability. Plus, he's got, you know, one of the worst O-lines in the league right now. So there's a lot going on. So this is not new. But it doesn't mean he's gone yet.
You sure?
No one's sure. Well, I don't know exactly what just happened.
Yeah,
just
we don't know. He's working out some things. Or
the pressure of the league. Just imagine this. On a 2-3 football team, you're expected to be the guy. Funch has just told me he's been on everybody's fantasy team. There's a lot of heat on a team that's trying to repeat, and they're 2-3. A lot of pressure just to play this game. But even more so now, and like you said, he's dealing with being a player that is new. This
right.
is a new, right. He's new to this right now. He's not the same Cam Akers of old right now.
Last in rushing.
Let me ask you guys about something.
Okay.
Did you see the goose on the field in game two at Dodger Stadium?
How could you miss it?
Right.
Okay. So apparently that goose migrated from Alaska. Like, it's a very rare type of goose.
Oh,
and
really?
the maintenance people at Dodger Stadium went out there. They were complimented for using a towel to protect the goose's feathers.
Yes.
And they won't say what they did after that, but that the goose was safely released.
Mm-hmm.
Should they have stopped the game?
That's a very good question. I wonder
how many miles did that goose fly? 800 miles? 900 miles?
Oh, my God. 910
million?
That would have been better.
That would have been a better game.
That would have been better.
Man. Yeah. All right, I'm out of here. Have a good weekend.
Bye. Yes. Oh, go work funny. On another game. So, yeah, the goose thing is weird.
Wow.
I thought about it when he was sitting there. He's sitting there in short right field, and Gavin Lux was at bat. And I thought, oh, my God, what if Gavin Lux hits a ball at the goose?
Well,
that
remember
would be like
that
a
time,
total horrible disaster.
You know, I got a picture with Dave Winfield,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know that he was actually brought up on charges for killing a bird.
He hit that bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well
legit
Cap, I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, wasn't it Randy Johnson who pitched the ball, and the bird got in between the pitcher and the catcher, and it blew up the bird?
Yep.
Yeah, it disintegrated in midair.
Yeah.
So apparently Bill Plunkett has sent a picture out. Bill Plunkett from the Southern California News Group sent out a picture of the Padres dugout where they've got these decoy geese like you use for hunting. So they've got geese all over their dugout, and they're talking about the rally geese. So it may have started a thing.
Right, but I just wonder, Mace, would you have stopped the game?
I would have.
If you were the lead umpire.
I would have.
Yeah, I think I would.
Because it would
too.
Be a terrible look if somehow the goose got hit by a baseball. That would be like awful. So yeah, I think I would have stopped the game. Bergman,
so according to the LA Times, Travis Longcore, president of the LA Audubon Society, identified the wild bird as a greater white-fronted goose. He said the species is an uncommon sight throughout most of the year in Los Angeles.
Hmm.
Unlike other species such as Canadian geese, which have made homes at parks, the greater white front geese are only seen during migratory seasons, and they think they migrated from Alaska. But
Yes, I would, Mace.
You would have stopped the game?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would have stopped
the game,
too.
Yeah, it was too big of a bird to not stop the game.
Big, ugly bird,
would you
bird,
stop
by the
it
way.
For a seagull? No.
No, not unless it was like
for a pigeon.
Giant
what about a pigeon?
Seagull.
A pigeon,
no.
Probably not.
Sky.
But he, you're
big,
talking about
bird,
protecting
huh?
like a rare species. Is that what you're talking about, John?
Yeah. No. I'm talking about the goose was big enough that if Gavin Lux would have drifted out to center to catch a pop up, he would have tripped over the goose.
Oh, it's a hazard. Absolutely,
it is a hazard. Yeah. And it's a disaster. I mean, if the goose gets hit by a baseball, if somebody steps on the goose, all that stuff is terrible. They safely transported the goose off the field. Bergman was there for it. Bergman, was it a big scene?
Greg,
or
did you know in the stadium about the goose?
Yeah,
or did you not find out about it until later?
No. I saw it. I saw it all happening. I saw the geese in right field, and then it went.
How
and
many
it,
geese?
It was one geese.
Just one goose.
One goose.
So the goose.
Goose.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling it out, Kathy.
Well, I
appreciate
there were
that.
More than one that maybe we didn't see on TV. You know, geese is plural, you know.
There was one goose, Cappy. Okay. Appreciate you. Thank you. But it flew around. It just flew around the
By the way, that's a T-shirt. Geese is plural, you know.
But it was flying around home plate, and then it stopped right by third base, and that's when they went.
It was weird. Now we're going to have to listen. Watch. We're all going to turn on the game in 2 hours or whatever it is. An hour and a half, and we're going to have to listen to this rally geese thing. Oh, it's the rally
geese.
Oh, it's
going to catch
on.
Rally
geese. Yeah, yeah. You got to nip that in the bud. You got to
have octopus.
Well, if the Padres octopus, win the series, they will be selling rally geese in the Padres gift shop.
Yep.
We must stop that.
Didn't they have like octopus for some team in hockey?
Was that Red Wings?
They would throw dead octopus on the ice because they thought it worked.
Well, the Angels had the rally monkey.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Couple things.
Cappy, are you wearing brown today?
No, I'm wearing black. Yeah. I'm just wearing black, you know.
Will you go to any of these games?
Yeah, I'm going to go tomorrow.
Are you?
I'm going to go tomorrow. You want to come?
I don't. Yeah, I don't.
You, of all people? I mean, you go to every game there is.
Yeah, I'm not making that drive to San Diego for those two games. Because I think we're going to win it in four.
So you think the Dodgers are going to win the next two games?
Yeah, I do. I do believe we're going to win the next two games.
Yeah.
And then the Padres. By the way,
this is the most polite trash talking I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, not really so much trash talking.
It's
not
trash talking. I mean, I love the Padres. I love the Pod Squad.
You love the Padres, too.
The Pod Squad.
Oh, I thought he was all Dodgers.
Slam Diego love.
No. Very polite trash talking. I like it.
Yeah.
We're going to win the next two.
Yeah, we're going to win the next two.
No response, Cappy.
Well, I don't think Mace really believes it, you know?
Believes what?
There we go.
I don't think that
sell
you
the
believe.
Fight, guys.
I think this thing's going to five games. I think this thing's coming back to Dodger Stadium on Sunday.
There you go.
Yeah, I think we'll wrap
it
up.
I'm with you, Cap.
I think we'll wrap it up quick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen.
We'll dispose of the Padres quickly.
Mace represents why everybody in San Diego gets so frustrated because there's just no respect, which, by the way, haven't earned any. Earned any respect. But this is the Padres' chance. And you know what's funny is how Dodger fans have traditionally taken over Petco Park.
Yes.
And the Padre organization is trying to do what the Rams did last year, which is try and keep the 49er fans out. So the Padres organizationally are trying to keep the Dodger fans out. And by all accounts, downtown San Diego right now, the southern part of L.A., you know, is just buzzing. And, like, there's just thousands of people all over the streets.
Dodger fans? A lot of Dodger fans?
According to the reports, not nearly the amount of Dodger fans that you might normally see.
So the takeover is not going to happen?
I'm going to doubt it.
Because everybody went to Vivid Seats and StubHub and SeatGeek and Harris Rosner at VIP. All got their tickets. You can't eliminate area codes on the secondary market. Right. And I would think that's the way most people are doing it. Like, when was the last time you bought a ticket directly from a team?
I always go secondary
market. There are tickets available for tomorrow?
Well, I mean, if you have somebody that you can call and say, hey, King.
I see. Peter
hey,
Seidler.
King.
Peter Seidberg.
Peter Seidler.
No, hey, King worked. Hey, King worked brilliantly.
Hey, King did work.
So it's disrespectful that Mason's not going.
No, it's just that Ireland keeps cautioning Mason. You know, you keep, you know, doing that, hey, these little pesky nobody.
Hubris comes pesky. Before the fall,
the
Cap.
Pod Squad. I love the Pod Squad. Juan is technically a Padres fan.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is.
San Diego? He's from San Diego.
His folks live in San Diego.
Okay, so he's connected.
So he connected. Okay, but nice. He's not like hardcore.
Do you have any respect for the Padres?
Oh, yeah, no, I think they... Look, I think A.J. Preller is one of the most innovative general managers in the game. I thought they had an unbelievable trade deadline, acquiring Josh Bell and Juan Soto and Josh Hader and Brandon Drury from the Reds. I mean, I thought
he reinvented
the roster in a real way. So, no, I have great – and Peter Seidler has done a great job as the owner. They've had great stability. I think the Padres – you know, next we beat them by 22 games this year. I think maybe it'll only be 12 games next year.
Very subtle.
Maybe you'll pick
very
up 10
subtle.
Games.
That's good.
You sucked me in with that.
Yeah.
I was pretty there was a lot of complimentary
there was nice.
Stuff
I was almost
there.
Buying it. Yeah. I like it.
Cappy. Cappy.
I'll be there tomorrow.
Nice.
We'll be there tomorrow.
I will.
And Mace, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
If you change your mind.
You got a seat for me?
I could have one
hey,
for
King.
You.
Hey, King.
Hey, King me.
King.
Hey, King.
And I might have one for you.
Yeah. That would be fun to go down. Actually, I got the Rams game on the must-win Rams game on Sunday.
Yeah, it's we talked about that with JB Long. He says, I say must win. He says can't lose. It's kind of the same thing.
By
right?
the way, Ireland, yeah, am I not kind of right when I say it's must win since all
no,
the football
you're,
guys
you're
are
you're the
saying,
opposite of right.
DeMarco just said must win. JB Long said can't
the
lose.
The definition of must win is that if you lose, your season is over.
I think you have to win this. I think you have to have momentum going into the bye before you play San Fran.
This may be the only game to. All year for the rest of the year that the Rams are favored.
Fair enough.
We're 11-point or 10-point favorites. I think it's come down.
You
a
need
bit.
Positive momentum going into the bye, because, like you said, this offensive line isn't getting any better right now, and everybody's
they
defensive
won't be
line looks great.
When Arizona comes here, they beat them in Arizona.
It depends on you know.
It depends what it looks like by that time. Arizona are we looks like, are we 2-5 or are we 2-6?
Yeah, but they might be 2.
Yes, I think Arizona's going to. I think Seattle's going to beat Arizona. This week, here's what I love about this.
You're believing
scenario.
In Geno, huh? Yeah.
Here's what I love about this scenario. So, we're gonna win on Sunday. I believe we're gonna beat Carolina some way, somehow. Then you get the bye week, and you're 3-3.
You can heal up.
You immediately get a chance to take over first place in the NFC West with a game against San Francisco the following week. You could concede. I mean, if the Rams get to 4-3, win the next two. I think they wind up in the playoffs. If they lose the next two, I think they're cooked.
I'm with you. To get there, you got to win on Sunday. That's why. I know no one likes to say must win, but you got to beat Carolina. You got to go into the bye week feeling good about yourself.
And for San Francisco, you know, this weekend they're at Atlanta, but then the following week they're playing against Kansas City, which that's a total toss-up of a game. I got to go with Kansas City's higher-powered offense versus the Niners. And then they play the Rams. So, I mean, it's not over if the Rams don't win. But if you can't beat this team at home, given the turmoil around their organization.
Yep. The worst team in the
league. You're not going to make the playoff. If you're not a team that can win this game, you're not going to make the playoff.
Does anyone know the starter for Carolina?
P.J. Walker.
School.
Yeah.
What school?
What school did P.J. Walker
Wake Forest.
Temple.
You see?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was Matt Rule's quarterback in college. That's how he got there. So they were.
And now Matt Rule's gone.
They were getting ready to cut the guy, just like the Rams O-line. Some of these guys were getting ready to be cut. You have injuries, you have to keep them. This guy was getting ready to hit the open market or hit the street until you lost two quarterbacks there in Carolina. Lo and behold, he's your starter now.
So we were talking about this a little bit earlier. Let's do something weird. Oh, we only got a minute left.
Come on, do something weird in a minute.
Okay.
Mace, I got to go catch this bus, so I'll let you do that without it. Boys, have a good weekend. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Okay,
have a good call tonight, John.
There's John Ireland taking off. He's in Sacramento getting ready for the game. So do you guys believe in, it's that time of year, ghosts?
No.
I heard Laura from the next room yell, yes.
No, I don't believe in ghosts. No.
Cappy?
Kinda.
Okay, Laura, go ahead.
A Mexican, bro. It just comes with the culture.
So ghosts.
Ghosts, all the voodoo, all that stuff.
All
yep.
that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
You do the voodoo that you
no,
do
No, I
for
do
you
not
do,
do voodoo, that, but wow. I'm just saying it's a, like Sedano says, a healthy respect for all that, you know,
right,
stuff.
Right,
paranormal stuff.
And Cappy, you sort of believe.
Yeah. I heard you talking earlier today about Ouija boards. Ouija boards freak me out.
Oh, I bought one and then I decided I'm not going to use that.
Yeah.
Don't do it, Mace.
You're inviting
yes,
weird stuff.
Yes, don't
into
do
your
it. Do not
world.
Do that. Nope.
Hey, Lindsay, are you there?
Yep.
How do you feel about ghosts?
I believe in ghosts.
Do you? Have you ever had an experience, a paranormal activity experience?
I think I did.
Describe it.
Well, it was like a year or two after my grandpa died, and I was in the basement doing laundry, and the faucet turned on by itself. Whew. And I was like, that was my grandpa. Because I forget why. I was washing like a sweatshirt he gave me or something. And I was like, that was my grandpa.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I guess that stuff. I always say that when my lights like went into a flicker mode one night. And then I got a phone call from my grandmother saying my grandpa had died.
Oh, yeah. I have my old house where we used to live. We used to have literally we would wake up to dishes on the floor. Like cabinets open. It was crazy.
Yeah.
We moved.
I would move.
Yeah, we did.
I would move.
Yeah.
Immediately.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, that's. I'm going to wrap this sucker up because I got to get home and watch the Dodgers game. Dodgers versus the Padres tonight. We got Lakers basketball coming up for you tonight. John will have the call along with Michael Thompson. Lakers at Sacramento, final preseason game. Next week is going to be a monster of a week. We hope we will be getting ready for the NLCS against either the Phillies or the Braves. Right now it looks like the Phillies have an advantage. Could be Philly at Dodger Stadium on Tuesday. Lakers open Tuesday night, home opener on Tuesday. I mean, on Thursday, it is just going to be a massive week. So make sure you're here next week, Monday, 1 o'clock. We'll break everything down. Coming up next for you is the Shedano and Cappy Show today with DeMarco Farr in for Shedano. Supercross Talk brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. Have a great weekend. Go Dodgers, go Rams, go Trojans. 710 ESPN.